Nice to see involved in the sugya and the learning, and I just saw I was telling some people, I just saw a gevaldik avort from the Meshech Chochma on Shabbos. The Meshech Chochma brings down from the Vilna Gaon that there are, it says on the pasuk, "Hamotziach ha'meretz Mitzrayim v'apoyitcha mibeis avodim." So he says, there's two things. Sometimes there's two ways that you could be nitzel, you could be saved from an impending tzar, from a tzar that you're in. There's something called pidyon, like you're redeemed, and then there's something called hamotziach. He just took you out of the whole problem to begin with. So he said, what's the difference? The difference is when it's pidyon, so the tzara that was supposed to come to you, instead of going to you, is going to go to someone else. And mitziacha means he breaks the tzara completely. So he says, by makas b'chayrus, there's two things. Makas b'chayrus, Kadosh Baruch Hu put the tzara that was supposed to come on Klai, so he moved it over to the mitzvah. But eventually he just broke the galus completely. So he says, what's the difference? So Meshech Chochma brings from the Vilna Gaon that it depends. If you get the Yeshua through tefillah, so then, you daven to Hashem, please, Hashem, please take away this tzar from me. So, okay, but you didn't really change. So the tzar deserves to come to you, but it's going to go to someone else. So you manage to escape the tzar. That's if you do it through tefillah. But if you do it through Torah, if a person and the Torah changes the person, the Torah changes the way the person is and everything. So now the gzera just falls off completely. So that's what he says. So comes Rosh Chodesh El, we're all involved in Torah and everything like that. So as of yesterday, we worried about the hurricane. So the hurricane's going to come to us. Instead of coming to us, it's going to go away, go to the Carolinas somewhere. But if we can get involved in Torah, it'll just go away completely. The hurricane will just disappear and just go away completely, and we won't have to worry about it b'chlal. So it's a big schus to start off the Chodesh of El. With the whole tzibur coming to learn, and to learn a very, very practical and a negiah sugya. And we know it's practical and a negiah because we get a lot of shailas in this inyan. And we really have a tremendous hakar satoif that we're able to have here with us. Rabbi Kushner from Lakewood wrote a book on this topic and other topics, and is considered a very big expert on this particular and many areas in halacha. And I know a lot of people here were nena from his book, and excited to see that. That he's coming, and he didn't bring any books to sell, but I'm selling it for him. So, we also have tremendous kasatoy that he had the courage to come, and now that he's here, well, if he gets back or not, we're not concerned anymore. But we have to thank you very much for coming and make the effort to come, and it's a pleasure to come to Rabbi Kushner and to come give the shiur. Following the shiur, there's going to be the rest of the schedule is lunch, and then following that, there's going to be a panel with some other with people on the ground floor from the real business field, bringing up issues and topics that they've dealt with together with the perspective of Rabbi Kushner. So everyone can stay tuned, and there'll be a lot of interesting things coming up.
I want to first thank the Rosh Hakollel for being with me. This has been a very exciting last few days, very adventurous. I'm going to start with just a small hakdama. Mitzvah Shem will be myrich more about this in the next session, but just to put the shiur in context, this is a little, in my opinion, it's important. I find, from my limited experience dealing with this, that there's a certain ruach. The marshal, if you're, I'm assuming there's an Arab in the neighborhood, yeah? Now, the Arab at some point stops. Now, what happens if, like happened last week in my neighborhood, you have a couple that's not familiar with the area, and they walk out of the Arab with a stroller, and they walk back in. So some people won't say anything, and it depends on the tunis and efforts. Some people will say something, but usually it's just going to be people that are going to say, there's an Arab. People generally are helpful, and they point out things because they know the guy doesn't want to walk out of the Arif. They're going to point out that he walked out of the Arif. That's just the way it is. And that's a good thing. And that's the way the Torah is. The Torah says that people have to be mazah other people, don't know about it. I find that when all this stops at by business. And business, you have to mind your own business. It's very important. It's a general concept. You have to mind your own business. The most you could say is, what do you do? And past that, like, you can't start getting involved in someone's business. And how do you do that? And where do you make it? It's literally none of your business. That's the way it is. That's the mindset. And because of that, there's a tremendous challenge. And the challenge is that people are not aware of very, very basic things. I don't know of any area like this in Shulchan Aruch where someone could walk around his whole life being nichshol things before Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't know. He has no clue. He has no clue it's an issue. It can be very easily dealt with. People have nisyonos. People have issues. I'm not saying people are tzaddikim, but they know their issues and they're hopefully working on it. But this, it's just complete ignorance, and people sometimes are not aware. And the reason why they're not aware is because no one is going to say, and no one's going to say anything. No one will say, you can go through your whole life, no one's going to say anything. And the sounds like this. If you, I'm just going to give a muscle. If you have a kitchen, if you're running a kitchen, if you're a mother that has a kitchen, kosher kitchen in her house, if you have a commercial kitchen, you have a restaurant, shtel zechfar, imagine you go 6 years. You're running your kitchen and you have no shayla. You never had a shayla. You never had a shayla. There's milchiks, there's freishiks, never once had a shayla. So there's really two options. What's going on? Either you're a mumcha, you're an expert in the laws of Yerideya, and you don't have a shayla because whatever it's negay, you push it to shayla, so that's it. Or you have no idea what a shayla looks like. And a lot of times it's the second thing. You just don't know what a shayla looks like because if you're not a mumcha, then how could it be you never had a shayla? Things happen. Things happen in life. Things get mixed up. And if you never asked a shayla, that means you don't, that usually what it means is you don't know what a shayla looks like. And in today's business world, that I was thinking on the way in, my father, growing up in Barapak, my father had a roofing company. And it was closed on Shabbos. But when I say it was closed on Shabbos, it was 100% closed on Shabbos because the marketing, it was my mother. My mother didn't work on Shabbos, right? The billing was my mother, right? There was no outsourced anything. There was no data entry being put up on a website. There was no, the goyim knew they're not allowed to work, they're not allowed to use the trucks, and that's it. Everything was closed. And today, you could ask a guy, and I have a cousin who got trained by my father and now works in Lakewood, and he has a roofing company. I can't tell you the shackles he has. And it's like you would think this, it's not a high-tech business. It's a very rudimentary business. We're literally putting roofs on people's houses. Like you think it shouldn't have changed. It's a completely different animal, completely changed. And the shayla that comes up, you would think this, he's running like some sort of high-tech, you know, business. But the truth is that there's always shaylas, and a person has to really familiarize himself because the yisoid is, this is really important, the yisoid is that you are, like if you have a kitchen, You have mashkiach, but your kitchen, your house, you're the mashkiach of your kitchen. Everyone's really the mashkiach of their business because no one else is going to be the mashkiach. No one's going to say a word to you. You'll go through life and you'll never know. So you have to be the mashkiach, but how could you be the mashkiach? You don't even know what the issues are. So a person has to at least familiarize himself. What are the sugyas that are negated to my business? What sugyas are there, right? There was a fellow who called me up a while back. I'm just going to say it quick. A fellow called me a while back, and he owned the snack bars in this national chain. He owned the food in the snack bars. It was like a whole contract he had with the hotel chain. So the people would come in, and then they'd take the snack bars, and then he had a guy on site that would see what was taken, and then they bill it to the credit card, and then he'd take 80%, and then 20% goes to the hotel, basically for rent, but it's his food. And he wanted to know how to, you know, Menegei Shabbos. He called Menegei Shabbos. I didn't ask him his age, but he sounded like an elderly Polish Yid that barely spoke English. And going through it, and then after, I didn't mind my business, and I said, so, man, what's for koste? Right, what do you sell? He says, I was going through it, Snickers, and Twizzlers, and he tells me, I call van, wine. So I said, kushavan, meaning kosher wine. So I said, no, it's kushavan, try for van, right? So I told him, you know, you can't make a shvakoyf and try for wine. You're not allowed to sell non-kosher wine. Stam yenem zasmano, you're not allowed to sell. So again, he didn't buy the business yesterday, and he was no youngster. And he said, Azoi? So I said, Azoi, Azoi. So he says, the chokim of them, which means. So I said, no, they're not, no chokim. So he's quiet, and he tells me, ich hab mich geriefen wegen dem. Which means, I didn't call about this. And he's like, okay, I think you're right. I'm not minding my business. I apologize. And that was it. And that's how it is. And this is a fellow who's no youngster. And he's not hiding. I don't think if you say, what are you selling? He wasn't embarrassed to tell me he sells wine. He had no idea. He just had no idea. For Shalach, Kufchav Gemel, Neradan, he never hit it. He never got to it. He had no idea of something called Stam Yenam. He knows there's no Yain Nesach, Bezareinu. No one was Menasach. No one told him. And still a chavar, before Shalach, no one told him. And that's part of his business, right? And there was the other day, I have a friend who's, his father-in-law comes to our neighborhood, and he's a lawyer, and I was sitting next to him by a kiddush. So I said, so what do you do when you have a yid that is hiring you for litigation for another yid? What do you do? So he looks at me like, what do you mean, what do I do? I said, so what do? You have a problem that close. So he looked not much like I fell off the moon. There's a lawyer in Brooklyn. He tells me, maybe it's my parnasa. My parnasa. And that was his tarot. It's my parnasa. There's no such tarot. There's no such tarot. But the chiddush is that he didn't seem to be aware of no such tarot. Now, there is avada. You go through sugis, avada, this heterim of makim hefsid, certain cases now. But Akoyis doesn't have a head to makim hefsid. And Akoyis, an attorney, can't litigate on behalf of a client generally. I mean, maybe in the next. We'll get a little more specific, but that's not the point. I'm not going to that place now. But the point is, I see again and again, people, the ikka umnis, they don't know basic halachas that are negayah, that have to be negayah to that umnis. So whatever a person's umnis is, whatever a person's parnasa is they have to educate themselves. The best is not just to ask, you have to really educate, you have to know the sugyas, because if you get a psak and you don't even know the pshat behind, and then things change and you don't even know how to ask again, you can go another 20 years, and the metzias changed. And anytime someone calls me, I try to give them a basic rudimentary understanding of what we're talking about, because if not, it could change on a dime, and then they're stuck and they don't even know to ask again. So that's something to keep in mind. We're going to go through now the halachas of the sugya of Sechiras Poelim. It's going to be very difficult to really come out with clarity. It's a big sugya. You learn this usually a whole zman in yeshiva, and this is mamash yeshiva here, but it's only the first day. And I don't know how, you know, if we go a week, we're not going to get back. So that's something to keep in mind, is that people really have to educate themselves as best as they can about the sugyas that are negayah to them. And then the negayah, the person does a lot of business with other people, you have to just know at least, minimum, what does a shayla look like relevant to my business? And if you're dealing a lot with Ben Adam Chaver and Yanni Mominis, you have to know what a chush mishpachal looks like. What does it look like? Maybe I'm cheating someone, maybe I'm not. What does a shayla? Because there's no way I can go through chashmish, but now, but I could put in what does a shayla? If you ask a shayla, you can get somewhere. If you don't know what to ask, you can't. So mitzvah, maybe next panel, we'll just go through sugya, what red flags look like, but that's not what we're doing now. Now we're going to learn, mitzvah, the sugya of Sechiras Poelim, the Shabbos. So I'm going to start from the Torah itself. So it says Azoy. Steht in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Tezayin. Shivas Yomim, Matzos Techilu, B'yoyim Arishim, Tishpisa Tzorbetek, Kol Eichel Chamit Nichus Tanev Shehi, B'yoyim Arishim Mikra Kodesh, B'yoyim Ashvi Mikra Kodesh, Kol Malacha Lo Yosbe, Mikra Kodesh would go on Shabbos and Yom Tov. These are the halachas of you can't do Malacha on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And it says, Kol Malacha Lo Yosbe Behem. All Malacha cannot be done. But it doesn't say leisase, you shouldn't do it. It says lo ya'asa. Lo ya'asa would mean it can't be done. Can't be done. So what does it mean it can't be done? It's not going to get done unless you do it, right? What does it mean it can't be done? Malacha can't be done. So Rashi right away says, lo ya'asa, I feel like they're ham. It must mean that malacha can't be done even by other people doing it for you. And that is a mechilta, which the Beis Yosef brings in Simen Reish Mem Gimel. Right, you can't do it yourself. You can't have your chaver do it. You can't have a goy do it for you. Right, because that's what it's mashma. You can't have malachas done for you. Now, there's a very basic question to this, And the question is that many times in the Gemara says that Amir al-Akum, telling a guy to do something for you, is a shvus. It's Issim d'Rabbanan. And the Gemara doesn't say it as a concept, conceptually. The Gemara brings halacha l'maaser. The Gemara in Gittin says, b'negeya yishuv Eretz Yisrael, if on Shabbos you have an opportunity to buy karkas, you can tell a guy. The Gemara says, Amir al-Akum. The Gemara says, it's mitzvah, deo matar, Amir al-Akum shvus, and deo matar, right? And Nizdokin chulkim of them. It's klar zachin that from Kama Gemaras that Amir la'akum is an issur midarabana, and Rashi dashens it straight out of the pasuk. So the Beis Yosef kind of is bothered by this without asking the question. He says that yesh loimar that the mechilta is an asmachta, and Rabban also really asks Rashi dashing straight out of the pasuk. You're making a deraisa here, right? So. The Beis Yosef says it's not mashma like that. All it's mashma is their eisim. And that's really what the Taz comes out. Okay. So that's what the Taz comes out. That there is a iser their eisim, right? A biblical prohibition. A person is not allowed to tell a Gentile to do things for him on Shabbos. That's what comes out from this Rashi. So we have a massive contradiction, a conundrum. Do you have Rishonim, like Rashi, and the Ramban, the way he learns Rashi, that it seems like straight from the Pasuk, that you cannot tell a Gentile to do things for you on your behalf, and there are many Gemaras where it's very clear that you can, minat Torah, you can. The Rabbanon, what Goyzer, they said, they made a Gzeira, they enacted a halacha that you can't do it. So what's the teretz in that? What's the answer? So there's a very basic answer to this, and this is a tremendous, makes a tremendous difference in understanding Amir al-Akum. And I'll explain to you why. Because most people, their exposure to the halacha of Amir al-Akum, telling goyim do things for you, is in a residential sense, which means they're in their house. It's not a commercial, it's usually not on a commercial level. Like they're growing up, when you're exposed to Amir al-Akum, you're exposed to Amir al-Akum because there's a light on in your kid's room, and you ask a Gentile, because you hinted to him, to shut it off, right? That's their exposure to Amir al-Akum. And then when they go into business, they take these concepts and they import it into their business. And that is a tremendous mistake, la halacha. And I'll explain to you why. The Chacham Shlomo explains, and the other Pshatim, which I'm not going to get into why it's like this, but I'm going to explain to you what it is. When you have a Gentile that works for you, he's on your payroll, and he's doing things on your behalf, not because you asked him to volunteer, but he's doing it because he's your employee, it becomes much more chum. And the Machin Ephraim explains, because even though it's in Shlichus La'akum, you can't make by a Gentile, you can't make him an agent, but you izadin yad poel kiyad balabayis, which basically means is that a worker is considered an extension of his boss. But again, many halachas, the Gemara B'Metzia, but again, finding things, but again, many halachas. But it's not so important why it's like that. What's important, what? And the what is that a worker that works on behalf of a Jewish employer is much more chomer than just a person you see in the street, and you ask him, you maramis, can you shut off a light? Okay? And there's a tzad, in the Rishonim, and Mishmur says, we don't pass like that, but a tzad, that when you have an employee doing it for you, it becomes aser deraisa, becomes biblically forbidden, becomes much more chomer, right? Much more strict. And when you just have a Gentile who's not an employee, then it's much more lenient. Okay, and now I'm going to explain as best as I can some of the nafkaminas and a lot of the mistakes that filter through because people confuse these two sugars. There's Amir la'akum in a residential sense and there's Amir la'akum in a commercial sense. And we, today, are going to discuss in a commercial sense because people a lot of times are not so familiar with it. The most basic form of prohibited form of Amir la'akum on a Gentile is when the Gentile is what we call a schir yoim. A schir yoim means you pay him per hour. Pay per hour could be anyone in your business, like a secretary, who even though they work 9 to 5 and they're getting a salary per month, but ultimately it's broken down into hours. And the monthly salary is just an accounting conglomerate of how many hours you have and then you're getting paid. That's what it is. It's really getting paid per hours. So a guy that's working per hour is not allowed to work on behalf of a yid. Now this, Mishabrua points out, has nothing to do with Amir al-Akram. This is not because you told him to work. This is because he is considered an extension of the Jewish employer. Why is he considered an extension of the Jewish employer? Because he's your worker. That's it, because he's your worker. And because he's your worker, he's considered your extension. He can't do work for you on Shabbos. So let's just give a case. A person has, I'm going to give two cases, and almost the same. A person has an employee, like a handyman, who he pays per hour, and he says, I'd like you to go buy something for me in Lowe's. Pick up wood for me, because we have to cover the windows. And I'm going to pay you per hour. He doesn't tell him when to do it. He tells him last Thursday. Does not tell him to do it on Shabbos. And but as soon as the guy works, you know he's on the clock, he gets paid per hour. This Gentile, who's my handyman, my employee, he goes on Shabbos to Lowe's and he buys the wood. And never told him to do it on Shabbos. Is that permitted or forbidden? So usually people will say, I never told him to do it on Shabbos. What could be the problem? Right? But the Mishnah Berurah says that that's forbidden. And the reason why it's forbidden is because he's a Schiyan. And a Schiyan means, not only because I told him, I mean, I'll ask him something else. The reason why it's forbidden is because he's working for me. He's my employee. And it's interesting because if you go through Mishnah Berurah, you're not going to get into the Issa Mila Akam until Shin Zayin. There's a new halacha. This is way after, way, way, way after all these halachas you find in Shin Zayin. Kol Masha Osala Soisei, Osala Mila Akam La Soisei. Whatever you can't do, you can't tell a guy to do. That's Issa to tell. Meaning your relationship is because you told him. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about, I didn't tell him to do it on Shabbos. I just told him to do it whenever he wants to do it. But he does it on Shabbos, and he's my employee. And the Mishnah Berurah says as follows. I'm going to read it inside. And this is what he says. Vida, and you should know. Im hoye ein Yehudi, this is in Simeration Beis, if Kutim Chav Gimel, Schir Yom Etzle B'Mechel. You have a worker who's being paid per hour, B'Mechel, during the weekday. V'hu Reitze, V'hu means the goy, the Gentile, Reitze, he wants, Ata now, Lasis Melachta B'Beisai B'Tzina, B'Shabbos. Now, he wants to do, you want to take home, you have a secretary, she's getting backed up, so she says, you know what, I'm going to take home these papers, I'm going to work over Shabbos, I'm going to catch up, you'll pay me overtime, well not overtime, per hour, right? And then, she works Betzina in her house, you never told her, you want to do it, do it, I'm not telling you to do it, right? No, I'm going to akum. Zorg to Mishnah Berurah, Zorg Leilich, V'limchos B'yodek, Shnoidloi, Aval Pishen, Oislefan. If you know about it, if you don't know about it, maybe you don't be chayish. I'm talking about if you know about it. If you know about it, you have to go and you have to make a macha. And the reason why you have, and the Shulchan Aruch Rav is very mirach in this, and you see from the Shulchan Aruch Rav, like, his frustration that people don't seem to understand this, is that the fact that you're a Shiyoim, that is the relationship. Right? I hope I'm explaining this. In other words, one second, I just want to explain this better. If you tell a Gentile on the street, do work for me on Shabbos, so it's usher because you told him. There is no relationship. The isser is because you told him. But if there is a relationship because they work for you, then that's the relationship, and that's why they can't do it. Because of the relationship, if he's your employee, that itself is a reason to ask them, right? So let's say you don't tell them to do it on Shabbos, but they are your employee, then that's the reason why it becomes also. And a lot of people are not familiar with this. A few summers ago, I go up to South Fulbright, so my father-in-law, who's he's a Rosh Kollel in Toronto, and he's a big Talmud Chacham, and people come ask him Shiloh, so this is not an ethnic joke, this happened to be what happened. There was a few Hasidim who came, and they had a whole Shiloh, and they gave a shutfist, growth for Shalos. And they wanted to speak to my father-in-law, and he was tired. He said, could you just speak to him for me? So I was speaking to him, and Tech Dvorah, this person had Tzchiriyam all over the business, on Shabbos. So I said, you have Tzchiriyam, and maybe it wasn't Tzchiriyam of Shabbos. So he said, no, Manishka Zok to Avatan of Shabbos. It's all taken care of. He didn't tell him to work on Shabbos. So I said, yeah, you can't have Tzchiriyam working on Shabbos. This is in Yiddish, but I'm under severe restrictions. So this is all in Yiddish, and you guys are missing 90% of the job. But so I said, you can't have Tzchiriyam working on Shabbos. So at that point, they realized that my Yiddish was weak, and there's a language barrier, because it doesn't make an ounce of sense. So they tell me, I didn't tell him to do it on Shabbos. So I said, Hazrael, come here. And we read the Mishnah Berurah together. I said, learn the Mishnah Berurah, not in English. And I read the Mishnah Berurah, and I had the three chevers sitting and reading the Mishnah Berurah, and they picked up the head of the Seder, Shvei the Mishnah Berurah. And the emphasis is, it's Bechal not Shvei, it's not Mishnah Purish in the Gemara, because the Gemara has so many cases, In Kuf Chav Beis, when you have a child, whatever it is, they're doing malacha, and you didn't tell them, but if they know it's doing a diet to your soul, it's forbidden. That's the way it is. And this is all part of a mistake, because they're not familiar with the fact that Amir L'Akam takes on a whole different form when you're dealing in a commercial sense. It has a whole different surah. Regardless if it's deraisa, I'm not coming to say it's deraisa, I'm just coming to say that from the fact that you see there's a shayla with deraisa and the Gemara is not negated to that, it works completely differently. And Lamasha, I'll just give a few more examples. There's a, without getting sidetracked, but there's a halacha called remiza. A lot of sometimes be merames. Merames means you could hint to a Gentile. And people, right, you can hint to a Gentile because you didn't tell him, and then he does things for you. Certain cases where he's not giving you a positive enough, he's taking away, and the halacha is forbidden, it's permitted, right? You have your light on, he's shutting off your light, beramiza, you can tell a guy, he comes, he shuts it off, right? And people take this concept, and they use it for their workers, for Shkiriyon, and they're sending out packages, and the UPS is coming out to Shkia in the winter, but the Amazon packages have to go out. So what do they do? No problem. They hint to that guy who's a Shkiriyon. They hint to him that, okay, this has to get out of here, but you figure out how, and that's it. Maybe if that's a remez, it is. I don't know, but that's not the point, because if you told him to do it on Monday, and he do it on Shabbos, you have to stop him. So Akapana, maybe the remizu was good, but now that you know he's going to do it, you have to stop him. So it's going to be, it's not going to work. And there's another yisayit, the Mishnah Berurah brings, Shver Heter. I mean, it's Shver Heter, meaning it's not from Shulchan Aruch, it's from the Paiskim. There's something called a Heter of Amir D'Amira. Amir D'Amira means you tell one Gentile to tell another Gentile, turn on a light. So this Gentile thinks it's working for this Gentile. So B'Shas Tzadchak, the Mishnah Berurah says sometimes you could use it. So what do we have? We have people in the business telling one of his workers, tell the other worker, right, to do it on Shabbos. And that worker, if he wasn't told at all, it'd be Aser. So it doesn't do anything, you know. And I remember growing up in yeshiva, this is how we worked. We had all the, they were called amigos, and that's what they were called. And how did we get everything done? We had a whole system, and they knew already. You tell one, to tell the other, right? But these were employees. It was grub amaratis, because these were employees. Unless they're not employees of me, they're employees of the yeshiva. If it's his problem, I'm not sure exactly how to done it. Possibly they're employees of the yeshiva, and they have to listen to everyone. So they have a lot of employers. And the Mela, they can't do it. And if the yeshiva himself would have done it, I'm not saying he did, then for sure it would be usher to have Ramiza to tell his kid to tell him, right? So then it would be advised to be usher, because you have Shkiriya and working for you on Shabbos. And this is something that people sometimes are not aware of. Now, when you do have such a case of a Shkiriyon that wants to work on Shabbos, like a secretary, let's go back to an office setting. So you have a secretary, and the secretary's job is she works in a doctor's office, and she... W-2 maybe is a good... It's definitely not discussed in the place, anything called 1099 or W-2. No, we're going to discuss Kablin versus Shkiriyon. Sometimes a 1099 and a W-2 is a good general hint of what it is, but the Gedorim have to, you know, it's not always like that. You know? So, if you have a secretary, so she's going to take home and she's going to work, whatever she does, she transcribes the doctor's voice notes and she puts it into paper, right? So, if she wants to work on her own on Shabbos, she's getting paid overtime. So that's usher. So what do you do? So then there's a different concept, and that's called kablanis. And kablanis works differently than schiyam. Schiyam means I hire them per hour, and I pay them for their time. And that's forbidden. But a kablanis means I don't hire them per hour and pay them for their time. I pay them for the execution of the job. Okay, so if I hire FedEx and I give them a package and I want to deliver it from Florida to New York, so time does not come in. So sometimes it's going to be traffic, right? And it's going to take longer. And sometimes there's no traffic and it's shorter. But the time doesn't show up on the bill. It's just the execution. They're going to get paid for doing the job. So they're called kablanim. So by kablanim, those are independent contractors. They're just doing it to make their own money. They're not doing it, not working on that. So I'll explain this a little better if I can. But the point is that when you have a kablan, I'll try to explain why it works like this, but it's important just to understand what. The what is that a kablan, someone's being paid for a job, to execute a job, not for their time, so they are allowed to work on Shabbos in as long as you weren't mechayev them to work on Shabbos. So just going back to the example of FedEx, if you give on Wednesday a package and you pay ground, and whoever they delivered something, they delivered on Shabbos, you weren't mechayev them to deliver it on Shabbos. So then it's kablanish. You weren't kaveh malachti, you didn't tell them to deliver it on Shabbos. So then it's going to be permitted. But if you're going to go Friday and you're going to overnight something from New York to Miami or back from Miami to New York, so now you've been kaveh malachti. You're saying, I need you to deliver it on Shabbos. So kablanish by kaveh malachti is usher.
But the, deliver
it
on Shabbos, it's guaranteed that it will get
to
my Shabbos. Let the guy go straight to the airport.
Right. Okay. Right. That's true.
Right.
So,
because he wants to sleep overnight.
Right. Okay. So the Taz, it's a legitimate point you make, but the Taz does say that you can never chesed anything where a person has to be. What's the lashon? Matriach atzmi yesh medai. So to say to FedEx. There is something called Critical Express, by the way. If you want, you can pay for it. But if you're going to not pay for it, where they have a courier pick it up, and then they put it on a commercial flight, and then there's a courier there, and I'll be there in 4 hours. But it's going to cost $500 because they have couriers that I have to pay. For you to make that assumption that FedEx should take a loss, and I'm not telling them to let them take a loss. FedEx is a for-profit business. So to say that they should take a loss because I didn't tell them to do it on Shabbos, Pashas would be included in what the Taz says, is that you can't be mechayev someone to do Yesh Medai. The case of the Taz is a little different. The case of the Taz is you give someone a deadline Monday, and under normal working conditions, 9 to 5, let's call it, they're going to work on Shabbos. But they can work all night on Thursday night and Matzah Shabbos, right? And they don't have to work on Shabbos. So is that called Kamei Malachta? So the Taz says it is. And that's the Skalba Mishbur brings Halacha, right? So Lemaisa, to go and to say such a thing to FedEx, where you want them, your expectations, because you're a demanding customer, and your expectations, Ya'anis Atzma, that's the Lashon. He says, you can never be assuming that they'll be Ma'anis Atzma V'leisha B'layel Ligma B'cha. So that passage would be included in the Taz. You're asking them to go, and without you paying those rates, which means you're paying only $15, but you want them to hire a courier, and drive it straight to the airport, and then take out space on commercial airlines, and then another courier, and they'll make it before Shkia. Pashas is not a cheshbon. So Mela would be Kveh Malach, and would be us. That's the Pashas.
So first of all, if you do 2 days, it's just
guaranteed. Okay, we'll get it. Yeah, so.
And also, every FedEx is always an Amir Lamia.
No, FedEx is not Amir Lamia. FedEx Pashas is not Amir Damir. FedEx Pashas is you. Amir Damir is something else. FedEx, Amir Damir means, I mean, it depends how you learn, but Pashas by subsurface case is that guy's working for that guy and you're not in the equation. FedEx is a company. Because if you're going to say FedEx Amir Damir, that means you're going to go to your overnight cleaners and you give it to them Friday afternoon and you're going to say, I need it Matzah Shabbos, because you know that the person who takes it is not the person who puts it in the machine, and it's going to become wild. But the reason why it doesn't work like that is because there's a company, and the company works for me, the whole company. They all work for me. Everyone's job is to deliver my package. Nish nor them. But when the guy, the Mr. FedEx, gets my package, imagine like this. Imagine I make a note, and I say, please turn on the light. My name is Yosef Kushner. And I give it to him, and he gives it to that Gentile, and the last Gentile gets this note, and it's from me to him. It says, please turn on the light. My name is Joseph Cushion. He could turn it on. Well, that's exactly what FedEx is, because there's a barcode and it has my name on it. Everyone scans it and everyone follows the same instructions. That's besides the point. But in general, a company, they all work for me. It's not really Amir Damir. Amir Damir is a very different thing. Okay, but I don't want to get sidetracked with Amir Damir, and that's why I said I don't want to get sidetracked. So moving right along. So like FedEx, if you could be Kaveh Malachtoi, it's going to be Usher. But that's an example, Kaveh Malachta Bekablan. It's meaning telling a Kabbalah to do it on Shabbos is an example, like we spoke before, that sometimes is Mutab Makam Hefsid. It's much more lenient than a Schayyim. A Schayyim, it's not brought such a halacha that it's Mutab Makam Hefsid. Makam Hefsid means when it involves a big loss of money. If it involves a loss of money, so could you have a Schayyim work for you? So there's no such heter, right? But Kaveh Malachta, sorry? Oh, it's learning. Okay. So I wanted to cover. Okay, you know, we'll cover less. So if you have a koblen, which is a person who's being done, an independent contractor, and this contractor is hired to do a job, and it involves a loss of money if he doesn't do it on Shabbos. And this is very relevant to people in the real estate industry because they have a foreman, and the foreman is in charge of this building, upkeep of the building. and there has to be a emergency service because you will lose your building if it's a big enough building and there's enough tenants, there's enough units, something's going to go wrong in one of them on Shabbos and there's going to be a flood and there's no one to call because the super knows he's not allowed to work on Shabbos, right? And there goes your building and there goes your reputation. So it's going to be a loss of asset. So in such a case, there would be a heter to tell the super, tell the manager, that you do not work on Shabbos in general, but when there's a time critical thing that involves a loss of money, where you, Mr. Manager, I'm a shire, this cannot wait, it's an emergency, then I want you to work on Shabbos. That would be kaveh malachta, you're telling him to work, he's a koblin, because he's getting paid to do all the work, you're not timing him per hour. So then, in such a case, that would be mutter. If the same guy, the same manager, would be paid per hour, that structure would be forbidden and he wouldn't be allowed to work on Shabbos. So I'm gonna explain. I should have explained. So I'm going to explain like this.
That's the question.
I'm in the middle of... Okay, so I'm going to explain this. So with salaries, it works like this. If you are a super and you get paid $1,000 a week to manage my building, my real estate. Generally, industry standard, at least up north, industry standard is that there's expectations what you need to do. Now, obviously, you don't work 25 hours, but there are expectations in a day what you're expected to do, which is you when the tenant leaves, you change over the apartment, you show the apartment, you make sure the building is running up to what it needs to be. You fix little things that need to be fixed. Big things, you call in a professional, right? You need to take care of the building. The building has to run successfully. And including in those expectations is that sometimes you're going to be working a little more. And sometimes you're going to be working a little less. And this is what you're paid to do. That's your salary. And if you think that because one Thursday you're going to work a little extra, you're going to get more money, it's not going to happen. And that's not the way that industry works. Now, I'm out there, there's general expectations. You come in the morning and you leave 5 o'clock. But that's under normal situations. But sometimes it's quieter. And I don't know what you do when it's quieter. Maybe you leave. And sometimes, hold on, sometimes it's busier. And when that happens, there's expectations. So that, the definition of such a person is, it's mamash the case of Shulchan Aruch, of the Gemara, he's a koblin lasses kol meleches habinyan, like a koblin lasses kol meleches americans. He's a koblin, he's a contractor, to do all the work. So his job is to get the job done. And then he gets a salary for getting the job done. So that is the definition of a koblin. Now you could also have a salaried worker, same word, salary, but it has a completely different connotation because if you have a salaried secretary, so they literally come, they clock in and they come 9 and they leave 5. And if they're going to have to get backlogged and work till 6, they're going to charge you. That's the way that industry works. So therefore, that would be a schiyah. Now, they're both salaried, but they work very differently. One's expected to get a job done, and one is not expected. One's expected to put in their time. So depending, not all salaries are kablanim. Some are, some not. And it really depends on the specifics of the case. I hope I answered that, because it's not a...
Why wouldn't you say the difference more is the fact that you can tell them what they do each day? It's very young. I can tell them, today you're doing photocopies, tomorrow you're doing...
Technically, a koblin, you could tell them what to do every day.
A koblin,
you could, you definitely could. A super, you could tell them what to do every day.
I mean... That's what I'm saying. I don't know why are you saying it's super to koblin. It's more of a...
He's just not a schayim. He's not being paid per hour.
I can't tell my contractor. I'm not. Why you work in my room? I'd rather you paint my house. He's like, no, you hire me to build a house. I don't care which way you want me. You can't build a house. I'm building a house.
That's his job. You brought a riot. It's not a riot. That's the job.
That's the difference between a
salary and a schayim. I'm doing it.
I'm just saying,
because of
the sign employee,
they either
are
or not
according
to
in terms of whether or not legally under the union puts in, you call anybody, I call a receptionist, a $10 receptionist, you know, that you have a salary. It's a misnomer. They're an hourly employee.
I'm not. So what are you saying? You're saying if you give a guy W-2 and you don't charge him and he doesn't cash him every hour, he becomes a schayan? I'm not understanding what you're saying, but that's not true.
Because in my set, in the end, legally he could demand a
No, you can't. Yeah. It's not our agreement.
It doesn't make a difference. It could be your agreement, but under law...
I'm breaking the law.
Okay, so fine. So
no, I'm saying, like, what does that have to do with the law? Our agreement is our agreement. And if he, hold on, so, and if he's going to demand it, I'm going to let him go.
Regardless of what
time. Well, let's say he's okay with that. I'm okay with that. The feds have nothing to do with this. ICE has nothing to do with this. Me and him have an understanding. He's happy. I'm happy. Does he mean you? He's illegal. So he's definitely not bringing up the law. And now, what's the problem? He's a coward. Now, I agree with you. In certain cases, if he wants to go with the law, then you're right. But it's going to just depend on the facts on the ground. But the law is not going to determine it. The facts on the ground is going to determine it. You're 100% right because you're bringing like a good... It's a good pointer to like get started. Is it a kabbalah? Is it a chayyah? And look at how he's paid on the taxes. But it's not always like that. It depends how it actually happens. I agree with you, and it's a good start. But
so
it's
called by receiving as long as they were being paid extra to make sure they got delivered. The listing would say, no, this is included in your regular paycheck.
No, they were chayyah. They're being paid per hour. They were being paid per hour. They were literally clocking in and clocking out on Shabbos.
Most companies have some people that have regular salary.
Yeah, but the lower end chayyah usually get paid per hour. Of course, the administrators in a nursing home, they get a salary, and they don't get to clock in and clock out. And sometimes at night, they're going to have to be on the phone or emailing for hours. And they don't get sometimes to charge that. It's part of their salary, which could be a lot. It could be a nice salary. But they have to do kol maleches, a nursing home, and they're kablanim. And the lower end people in the same nursing home, they're getting a salary, and they are not expected to work at night at home. And if you would ask them, they are going to charge you. So then they're going to be scared.
But also, the laws force you to charge them because if they get paid overtime.
Okay, so then if you force them and you pay, then you're scared. 100%. So I just, it all depends on what you actually do. I'm not advocating anyone to break any laws. As best as I can, I want to just explain what this means because a lot of people, why is a scheryon different than a kablan? Ultimately, no one's volunteering. Why is someone being paid per hour different than being paid for the job? They're both motivated by their own financial interest. That's it. It's not a volunteer non-for-profit and they're doing this to save the planet. They're doing this to make money. The scheryon's doing this to make money. And the kablan's doing this to make money, right? So, I'm going to explain this as best as I can. I'm just going to give an example. If you take a real shchiyayim, you take a day laborer sitting on the corner and say, I want to pay you per hour to shovel the snow in front of my house, right? You go in Lakewood, they have a whole street over there on 2nd Street, and there's the day laborers, right, from south of the border. And you bring them to your house, and you tell them, I'm going to pay you $15 an hour, and... You're gonna shovel the snow, okay? He comes in your car and you drive him to your house, right? And he comes out of the house. So I'm sorry.
You wear his car, you take.
Whatever it is. So yeah. So now you say, okay, I'm gonna go get a shovel. You go to get a shovel, and then you get lost, and you come back 2 hours later, right? He didn't work at all, but you have to pay him because he's sitting available to shovel. That's the way it is. It's olive based ungenomen that as soon as he's coming, he's ready to work. He's a shchiyayim. He's getting paid per hour. He's ready to work. Right? Same with a cleaning lady. The cleaning lady that comes to your house to clean. And the vacuum cleaner was lent out to a neighbor. And you can't get a hold of your neighbor. So she's sitting and waiting for the vacuum cleaner. You're paying her per hour? You're paying her per hour. Because she's available, right? So the lumdus is, the story is like this. Since she sold her time to you, and you pay for her time, when she goes and she works, she does not work to make money. She's making money because she sold you her time. She's working for you. She does not work to make money because she's making money without working if she wouldn't work. She's working for you, only for you. Adaita d'Yisrael, the Melech Aser. And the reason why she's working for you is because she's getting her money if she does not work if you wouldn't make her work. But a kablan never works like that. If you have a kablan, and this kablan is, I'm hiring you to build a shtender, the way they receive their paycheck is delivering a finished shtender. So there's always a financial interest in finishing the shtender. The same way you'll understand, take it one step further. I tell a guy, I want to buy from you a watch. You make the watch. I want to buy a table, whatever it is. And you'll sell me the table, right? Now imagine this guy's in his workshop building a table. He's working for me, he's working for himself. He's not working for me. He's not my employee. I'm going to make a transaction when he has a finished table. So who's he working for? He's working for himself. So the same we understand in that sense, in retail, he's going to sell me the table. So that in the service industry is called kablanis. I'm going to give you the service, like I'm going to give you the table. I'm going to give you the service, the completed service, like delivery of the package. And while I'm actually going to bring the package over, states that I'm working, of course I'm working for myself. Because if I would be able to snap my finger and it would go over, then he would still have to pay me. So now, because I don't know how to snap my finger, bring it over, I have to slip it over. But right, I'm working for myself, right? And since I'm working for myself, my own financial interest, it becomes much more lenient. And that's why a kablan is allowed to work on Shabbos, unless you tell them explicitly, I want you to work on Shabbos, then it becomes a little more strict, and then it's only permitted if it's a makom hefsid, if you're going to lose money. But a shechiyon is like my eved, they're like my slave, they're working for me, they're just working for me. There's no chesed of money. We're not talking about money. And the reason we're not talking about money is because he sold his time, that's why he gets his money. So now you own him. So now you own him if he fits like a klutz. You own him if he works. So ultimately when he works, he's working for his master, Kigilu. I'm just trying to explain. No, it doesn't make a difference. That's a good question. No. So right, people don't know that, right? The Shulchan Aruch Rav points that out. That even though everybody knows a shvus to shvus is mutl makom mitzvah, he says that's not going to be by Eschayon. Because Eschayon, he calls also Medina. I'm not sure what he means, he says Medina. He means Deraisa. Pashas doesn't mean Deraisa. Because he never says Mefurish to Shulchan Aruch Rav that it's also Deraisa. But he calls it Medina. It's more chummer. It's more strict. And therefore, Shulchan Aruch Rav points out that even though usually there's a heter of a shvus to shvus to tell a guy to do something Derabanan, certain cases are more lenient than my makom mitzvah, it's allowed, but that does not apply to a schayim, because a schayim is more chum, and most people don't know that as well, because they... So that's a very good question. That's an excellent question. What about my cleaning? It comes out, I'm already eating chumar. Oh, very good, very good. So what happens? So it comes out like this. The light's on in my kid's bedroom, right? The light's on in my kid's bedroom, and I want to shut it off, so I know that I'm going to go outside and get a Gentile walking by, and I'm going to be Miramis, by the way, there's a light on, and my kid can't sleep. So they're going to say, okay, I'm going to go shut it, right? Is that permitted? Permitted, because it's a Ramiza, right? And this guy doesn't work for me. But to tell the cleaning lady, by the way, there's a light on, the cleaning lady says, yeah, I'm a scam, it's not a work for you on Shabbos. So hey, since you have to go to your friend's, your neighbor's cleaning lady, it doesn't work for you, and your friend has to get his light turned on with your cleaning lady. Not part of a job. So very good. Just, I mean, I don't know if it's part of a job or not, but that's the chorid of Teretz. Teretz is that they would do it if it wouldn't be their job. They would do it as a courtesy. If there would be any guy in the house who would be Miramas, you would tell them to do it, so then they would do it. Yeah, that's very good. So then it wouldn't be us, right? If it's something that they wouldn't do unless you pay them, then you wouldn't be allowed to be Miramas. But something that we would do as a courtesy, and it doesn't carry over into their job. It's not like they leave early because they did that, so now they don't get... Shabbos good, yeah. So that's really what we're discussing here. I don't know how that guy's paid, so that's really what we're talking about.
Oh,
I don't know who you're talking about. I never paid anybody. I owe him so much money. I'm sorry. Who are you talking about? Yeah. Why does he do this?
Yeah.
But you're not mechuyim. That's not a schayim. Also, that's Gemara discusses. If he wants to do it, because maybe he'll get paid. Also, you're not going to pay him for the.
Don't pay him, by the way.
I never knew why he did it. Yeah, but you're not paying him per hour. I thought your question was, let's say someone does hire a Shabbos guy. You know, so then what happens? So he works for the animals, I'm not supposed to work for me. It gets a little complicated, you're right. Okay, so is there any more shilas? We have like a few more minutes.
Painter shows up to your house and jobs for paint.
A painter? Okay, so we didn't discuss this. But a kablan that we established, a guy who's getting paid for the job, who's allowed to work, so we said there's an exception. He's allowed to work on Shabbos, but he's not allowed to work if you kaveh malachti, if you tell him to work on Shabbos. And another exception, he's not allowed to work if he's doing things which are in the open. Which are open, and one of the cases where it's mefursim, people see it, it's called meleches binyan, building-related things. So building-related things is not allowed to happen. he's not a dude for you. So you have a foreman who's going to that actually gets complicated. So then how does your real estate manager, right, that you say for emergencies is allowed to do it? How's he allowed to do it? It's a problem on our side, right? So first of all, it could be it's talking about chutzat chum. Your buildings are wherever they are. They're in Delaware, and there's no yidden in Delaware. So only the companies are, but the yidden don't live there. So that would be permitted if it's not right. But for a guy to show up in your house and to do painting would be strictly forbidden if the yidden's there for sure. And if teich chum, the yidden in that area, that would also be forbidden. Because that's that would be malachim afortunately, and that would be awesome.
Yeah, the other ways to matter employees to work a child is if they get a commission or other sorts of.
Yeah, so very good, thank you. So then there's another structure of employment besides chiriyim, which is the most chomer, and then there's kablin, which is a little less chomer and a little less strict, and the most lenient form of employment is an aris, and an aris is someone who's getting paid a commission. So, for example, when you have a real estate broker, and a lot of real estate brokers, if you have goyim showing your buildings, the best day to show is on Shabbos, because that's when people are off. So, since the derech of a real estate broker is they charge per commission of every time they get you a tenant, so they're an oris. And the definition of oris, the literal definition means a sharecropper. But what it means, the sharecropper was in an agricultural sense, but what it means is they're getting a chelek, some of the money of the profits of the job that they facilitated. So when you have an oris, they're like almost shutfin. They're like completely invested in the business. They for sure are doing it more adaited than afshay, doing it for themselves. And there's a machlekes, it could be even allowed to be kvei malachte on an oris. That's the Avanezes Chiddush. Mishbura seems to hold you're not allowed to be kvei malachte on an oris. So
something comes to us to give an estimate or inspection. It's called malacha. Is it for hesem?
So is he doing a malacha or not?
That's
a big shayla. Is a goy? Could a yid do that? A yid can't do that because it's a cheftzicha. A yid now, but is there an isra mil akam cheftzicha? It's serious. It's a big shayla.
What if they are
salaried
and commission?
Salaried and commission. So
what do they rely on more? Usually the commission and the salary.
This is not clear. So let's say you have a schir yom that also gets a commission. Yehuda has, in Yehuda's case, he says before he's getting paid per hour and he's getting on top of that, or he's not with the cowboy. Yeah, could be.
The
heifer
of the realtors, because everybody's the Yehuda, they know his commissions, therefore.
Which Guru only brings him in a gear of Maria Pua, but never brings him in a gear of schir yom. The problem with Maria Boa, wait. Never. Right. Well, I'm sorry? Right, right.
The people don't know that it's salary. It's you do it by a rule. But if it comes on Shabbos, people know that's a $2.
So
that has a scripture of regular person, right. People are going to know that they have right. This extra
so,
kicker.
Right. So when the industry standard is to be a reason, it becomes much more lenient. Much more lenient on two fronts. Very good. First of all, Marisayan, people are not chayish because they know a realtor gets paid. And second of all, maybe you're allowed to be kaveh malachter. Maybe you're allowed to tell him to do it because ultimately the fact that he's getting a chelik of it would outweigh the problem, even though you told him to do it. Right, correct.
The work in your house is indoors. It's still for hesiyah.
Sorry?
The work they're doing in your house is indoors. It's still for
hesiyah. That's how it seems. Meaning, like, it's not. We're not talking about Malachas Binyan. You're talking about they're sewing for you.
No, let's say they're doing plumbing. But
no, plumbing for sure. No, plumbing's the Malachas Binyan is called Malachas Mefusa.
Good question. You got sewing for you, man.
But Malachas Binyan, they're going to be bringing things in and out. That's for sure not going to work. The question is if they're doing things literally in you know, Chad v'chadorim, they're in your house. Mishabura seems to say you shouldn't let them do it, even a Kabbalah shouldn't let them do it on Shabbos at all. It has to be in their house, or even if it's on your building, but you're not there, away from you, away from your presence. The Mishabura Paskins, that case is us.
Also, the case you don't
have to help with going to keep on the. Yeah. Oh, let me finish. Oh, very good. I never got back. Thank you. So when you have, so if you have, it really depends on how it's structured. So if you have. You work in a business and you have like a colleague, a Gentile colleague, and it's Wednesday, and he says, I'm going to Home Depot to buy wood to cover my windows. So you say, okay, here's $20, buy me a plank, right? So he's not your employee, he's just a colleague, right? So you're not paying him. He's just doing it. So then, if he goes on Shabbos, he's not your worker, and you didn't tell him to go on Shabbos. So that Gentile is doing nothing wrong, and he comes on, and he delivers it. I don't know if he can deliver it on Shabbos. That might be Malachas. But he delivers it after Shabbos. That's permitted. But the exact same structure, if that guy would be your handyman, he's being paid, and then he goes to Home Depot, and then he buys it for you on Shabbos, even though he never told him. The Bishop Brewer says that if you get wind of the fact that he's going to do it on Shabbos, love that, you have to be doing it on Shabbos. But if you do get wind of the fact, and week after week, you know, he does it on Shabbos, because that's when he has time, this handyman, there's a case, very interesting case in the Mashag, that I'll get into maybe a different time. But point is that when you do get wind of the fact you're doing it on Shabbos, then you have to, in Moichah, you have to stop him, even though you never told him to do it on Shabbos.
What about a housekeeper using a dishwasher or mopping the floor or doing things that she can do it in a sink, but she uses the time by a dishwasher?
So these are good questions. And each one has to be done separately. A dishwasher generally is accepted to be a problem of a shmas coil. It's a separate issue that you should not have in your house machinery going on. Now, I know dishwashers are getting quieter and quieter. No, his point, I believe his point is that she could do a beheter. Yeah, is that your point?
Yeah. She can sweep, but she tries to
see. No. In other words, a guy is allowed to wash dishes for you. A guy is allowed to wash dishes with hot water because there's no issur of. No issur psikresha on a guy. The whole issur of hot water is only issur psikresha, right? There's no issur psikresha on a guy. So you can tell a guy to use hot water to wash dishes. And if there's no achana, maybe there's no achana by a guy. So you're allowed to tell a guy to wash dishes. You tell a guy to wash dishes. And she's feeling lazy today, so she goes and dumps it in the dishwasher. That was his question. Not being a fool.
Instead of
right, so I'm telling you, so vacuum, these things are, well, I don't know, vacuum might be something else. I don't know how you're cleaning a vacuum.
The asking is, to speak out, is that even if you didn't tell him, there's no that, why doesn't, how does that work with the stereo? You know,
right, that's his question. Right. It comes out that maybe there's a stereo that has a diet that didn't have shay because they could do it better. And they don't. It's not mufurish. Right. If he could.
Let's say he could memorize all the orders he took that day. He decides to write it down for his own memory.
If he could. If it's something that could be done, it could be. It's not mufurish, such a thing. It's not clear. No. So vacuum, yeah. I don't know how you could expect a guy to clean a rug without a vacuum cleaner. Bismane, no. It's not so easy. No, I really mean it. It's not so easy. I what did they do before they had vacuum cleaners? It's a good question. But he doesn't have a manual one. So now what?
Yeah, he doesn't have a broom.
You can't do a broom on a rug. It's not gonna work.
Yeah. Okay. Fine, not the rug. Can you bring
a floor? And the so you don't use a vacuum.
Broom on a rug.
I don't think so. Okay, could be. They're flagging a room back in there. I'm not sure. What? One? I should speak out. Okay. Okay. Fine. Okay. So Rabbi Shai, my Rabbi Shai Shlita. First of all, you've been a terrific audience. I really. How much holding in the sugya?
Here for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So we covered the basics of schus poilim on Shabbos, just having workers. Now, sometimes there are businesses that cannot close on Shabbos, just by the nature of the business. They cannot close, because if they close, then they close for good, like a hotel or a nursing home. And there are schiriyim in the business, and you can't get away from that. You can't. Cannot have everyone in the nursing home not being a scam. It's inoperable. So then it becomes a question of what to do. And then we get involved in the whole Schar Shabbos controversy. And Mitzvah, tomorrow I'll try to explain it as best as I can why these things don't work or maybe do work. Well, I'm not going to give it away. So we'll discuss that. And we could also touch on other things like Schar Shabbos, which is a different shmooze, and it's negated to anybody that has any sort of income coming in on Shabbos, which means he comes to his Suda and he sings Menuch V'Simcha, and his assets are growing. His income is growing as he sings. If that's Negea to you, then you have a Schar Shabbos problem. And many, many times, it happens so often, people call and they call with their Goyim, and I'm like, you are just Moli Schar Shabbos. So Schar Shabbos is an issue. You can't make money. even passively. You cannot make money on Shabbos. That's something hopefully we can discuss. And then there are other peripheral sugyas that Mitzvah Shem will try to get to Mitzvah Shem tomorrow. Shkoya. My apologies. I did the best I can.
A lot of Yiddish.
I'm sorry. Anything you don't understand. Whose is this?
You didn't explain one thing.
Okay.
So you explained the
Kabbalah.
Oh,
okay. He's very upset at me. I didn't speak it. So he gets first.
Okay.
Yeah. Working as a mashgiach on Shabbos. How do you?
You explain the Kabbalah and you explain the Sefirot. And you gave a marshal how the guy builds a table. How the guy building a table is doing it for himself. How does that apply to the person that makes a salary that's not a student? I have a manager. There's a third category.
Oh, of course. He has to deliver.
He has to deliver
a successful building to you day in and day out. You know? It's a little abstract. You're right. How are you?
Good to see you.
How
is that considered a problem?
Because you have to do a job. You have to deliver a successful job.
It's the same.
Yeah.
Kitchen business, salespeople, they make a base salary. And the business is closed Shabbos. They get one to finish a sale.
What do they get paid? They don't get paid like
a base salary, $15,000 for the year.
So why would they work then?
They want to finish a sale.
What?
They get commission.
No, so then they're recent.
So they get some.
So they have both.
Yeah.
They have both.
But the business is closed shop because they're going to want to make a sale.
So they're doing it because of their commission.
Or take samples so and go to a client on Shabbos. I say no. But
they want to make money.
They want to finish a sale, yeah. They
right. So the only issue. Meikra did it, it's mutter. They want to make money. They're doing it for themselves. Problem is they're going and it says Moshe's kitchen store on their thing. They were not in the area from Yidden.
Okay, so very shortly is gonna be lunch out and then at 12:30 we're gonna have a panel, some people discussing their real life issues and business. And 1:45 there'll be a schmooze from Rav Yehuda Jacob Shlita, followed by Mincha 2:15.